Take your Bibles, please, and turn to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 17 this morning. We're going to read the Word of God together this morning, 1 Samuel chapter 17. I'll read aloud as you read along silently. 1 Samuel chapter 17, we're going to read verses 15 through 23 this morning as Pastor continues his series. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 15 through 23. As you're finding your place, if you haven't found it, would you please stand to your feet in honor of the Word of God? If you're able to this morning, please remain seated if you're not able or need to stay seated. 1 Samuel chapter 17, beginning at verse 15. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. And Jesse said unto David his son, Take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves and run to the camp to thy brethren and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their thousands and look how thy brother fare and take their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to fight and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for these series that we've heard preached from our pastor these last few weeks. What a challenge. But God, let us not live in the past. Let us not take what's been passed, but help us today to hear what you have for us today and use it to help us. Help us to be a better Christian, a better fathers, grandparents, better citizens of our country. God, work in our midst this morning. And Father, to accomplish that, we need you to anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit power. And one last thing, Lord, as I pray every week, if there's somebody in this room or in the internet that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray they'd settle it this morning. In Christ's name I do pray. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated, you may be wondering after if you've been here these last 3 weeks, saying, doesn't the pastor know anything else in the Bible besides David and Goliath? I do. I just can't find it. No, just kidding. This 58-verse chapter is rich. It's rich with truths. And I hope that if you've not been here each week, I'll bring you up to speed on where we're at here. We're talking about a 17, 18-year-old young man, boy, who takes on a trained 9'6" killing giant named Goliath. And wins. And he doesn't win because he's good. He wins because God helps him. And David knows it. And we'll come back to that in a minute. Now please listen. So here's David. 17, 18-year-old boy. Steps into the Valley of Elah and takes on a train-killing giant. And he is victorious. The main lesson you want to draw from this event is this. With God's help, you can also slay the Goliaths in your life. And this morning, I want to talk to you about lessons from David and Goliath. And I'm going to count on your knowledge of this account in the Bible. Remember, it's an account. This happened. We've been to the Valley of Elah. I showed you pictures of it last week when we were in Israel a few weeks ago. We've been to that valley. But more importantly, that really happened. A young boy with a pocket full of rocks, a shepherd's staff, and a sling took on a train-killing giant covered in 125 pounds of armor. And this thing about Goliath, you understand, was the man had a reputation as being a killer. And all of Israel knew it. They were scared to death of him. All the armies of Israel would not take on this giant. And please remember something, you wouldn't have either. And you definitely wouldn't have gone after him with a shepherd's staff, a sling, and a pocket full of rocks. I assure you of that. But David knew what would work for him, and he went after the giant. But more importantly, David knew that God would help him. And he won a victory that day. And remember now, David won a victory for himself. He won a victory for the battle. And he won a victory for his nation. And he'll leave the valley of Elah no longer a shepherd boy, but a man. And not only that, but he'll leave a leader in a nation. And a 17, 18-year-old boy, that's a pretty big jump from one event. So you see why the lessons are so many in this passage. And I hope that we spend a little more time in it and think about it. And I've been preaching messages out of it. I have 15 different sermons I preached from this one chapter, and I've been kind of mixing them up a little bit in what I have prepared to bring you something. Today I want to talk to you about some lessons from David and Goliath, and here's why. Because the lessons we'll learn about David and Goliath will help us when we face the Goliaths of our life. Insurmountable obstacles, things that look like there's no way I'm going to overcome this. There's no way I'm going to get past this in my life. There's no way. I just can't see it. No one else but David did. Now remember that. He's the only one who saw victory where everyone else saw defeat. Goliath steps out in the valley of Elah every day for 40 days, two times a day. 80 times he delivers a challenge. Give me a man to fight with me. And the agreement was this. Goliath said, if he wins and kills me, we'll serve you. The entire nation of the Philistines, we'll serve you. But if I win and kill him, you have to be our servants. So the fate of his nation is there. This is not just a contest of a boy and a grown man. This is a contest of two nations. This is the destiny of his nation David's taking into his hands. And he knows it. But people, he won. He conquered the giant. The lessons we need to learn are quite simple. First lesson is this one. You need to stay yielded to God. The passage you read this morning, it kind of comes in, not in the middle, but sort of a third of the way into this account of David and Goliath. In verse 1 down to verse 14, the Israeli army is on one side of this valley, Philistine army on the other side. Goliath is in the center. He's been delivering his challenge for 40 days. They've been fighting skirmishes on the sides and things like that. And David, is the Bible says there, and look in verse number 15. I'll ask you to keep your Bibles open here. In verse number 15, it says that David went and returned. See, he was there at first. Then he went back home to Bethlehem. By the way, that's an 80-mile journey. And he goes back to Bethlehem. The Bible says in verse 15, to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. Now drop down to verse 17. And Jesse, that's his father, said to David, take now for thy brethren an ephah of the parched corn, these 10 loaves, run to the camp to thy brethren. His dad comes to him one day and he says, son, now here's what I want you to do. I want you to take this food and go give it to your brothers. He had three older brothers down at the battle. I want you to give them this food and then I want you to see how the battle is going. David, yes, sir. He turns around, makes the 80-mile journey back to the battle where the Elah is. And as he returns to this battle, David gets there, and as soon as he shows up, the first thing he does is he hears Goliath's challenge. And Goliath stepped out and said, give me a man to fight with me. Give me a man to fight with me. Come on, give me a man to fight with me. And David hears the challenge, and now everything is going to be different from David from this point forward because he simply yielded himself to his father's will. Listen, it started everything for David. It all began because he was yielded to do what his father told him to do. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You know what, dear people? Here's the thing. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans to yield ourselves to our God, to our Heavenly Father. And in so doing, you'll find out what it is His plan for your life is. You say, well, if it's like what David did, thank you very much, I'll pass. He was tending sheep, now he's fighting giants. He was back home taking care of little lambs and sheep. And now David, because he's yielded to his father's will, he's in the middle of a battle. And he gets into a valley, and now he's got to take on a giant. You say, I'd prefer not to have that if that's part of the will of God for my father. Excuse me. Every Christian will face Goliaths and battles in their life. The difference isn't can you avoid them. The difference is this. Are you yielded to your father's will so you can get through this thing? Goliath, David, and please don't miss the point. David would have missed all of this. All he had to do was tell his dad, I'm not taking all, just did the 80-mile journey. Now I got to turn. You understand he doesn't do this in a car. He does it in a carriage drawn by horses. 80 miles, if we drove over those roads, trust me, you wouldn't want to be in a carriage going over those roads for an 80-mile journey. He's got to make it all the way back. He could have just simply said, you know what, Dad, I already did that. I'm not going back over there. I'm not going to do it right now. Leave me alone. I don't want you, don't bother me. And all it took was for David to, look at me, just resist what his father wanted him to do, and he would have missed his moment in history. People. See, we think this thing about doing something for God or doing something for, with our lives that matters, it involves some great training and some great knowledge and some great ability. I tell you what it takes. It takes a yielded Christian who will just get to that place where they stop allowing themselves to resist what they know God wants them to do. I believe every Christian is just one decision away from really doing something great for God with their life. And you know what it is? It's that thing you won't do. That one thing, you've got that one thing, but you're not going to give on that one. You got all these other things, yeah, but you won't give on this one. Now listen, ladies and gentlemen, do you understand that's the one thing that's keeping you from proving what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God for your life? It's keeping you from knowing exactly what God put you on this earth to do. You don't want to miss that now. Yeah, but Pastor, there's battles, but there are going to be battles anyway. And there's a giant. Yeah, but you're going to face a Goliath anyhow. Wouldn't it be better to face him, yielded completely to the Lord, so he could thereby step in, help you to do what you need to do? What is it? What is it you know God wants you to do that you're resisting him in doing? All David said was, yes, sir, and made another 80-mile journey. And I'm sorry, but from verse 15 to verse 17, I'm not sure how much time frame was involved. Maybe he just got back to tend his father's sheep, and his dad said, oh, by the way, I need you to go back over there and take this stuff to your brothers. Did he have to turn right around and make another 80-mile journey? I don't know that. I know this, ladies and gentlemen. You say, yeah, but Pastor Johnson, doing the will of God, that interferes with my will. I know. And I know it's so important to do what you want more than what God wants. I know your plan is better than God's plan. Think about that statement for a moment. Does that even make sense? Yeah, but it'll cost me something, Pastor Johnson. It'll cost you something if you don't. It's always better to be yielded to God and let his plan be fulfilled in your life. His entire life changes on one thing. Yeah, killing Goliath. Nope. Saying, yes, Dad, I'll do what you tell me to do. Oh, and by the way, that's a good attitude to keep throughout your Christian life. Yes, Father, whatever you want, that's what I'll do. Yes, sir, whatever you tell me, that's what I'll do. It's amazing how simple that process of yieldedness and obedience makes a huge difference in decisions in our life and choices in our life. David's entire course of his life changed when he said yes to his father's will and took the bread and cheese to his brothers. All because he was yielded to his father's will. Number next, I want you to notice something, another lesson to see this. Look at verse number 29 down there, a few verses. We didn't read that far. Now David comes, he hears Goliath's challenge. David says, shouldn't somebody make him be quiet? I mean, he's out there talking, and Goliath was talking about God and talking about Israel and the armies and everything else. And his brothers would tell him, I'll go back and take care of the sheep. We're out here hiding in the bushes with everybody else. And he's getting all this resistance and problems. And then it says in verse number 29, when David says, somebody should do something. And verse 29, it says, and David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? What a great statement. Hey, they saw a giant. David saw a cause. That because they saw the giant, their fear kept them from taking on this giant. David didn't see a giant. He saw a cause. Somebody needs to do something. This giant needs to fall for the sake of our nation and ourselves. And gentlemen, somebody, isn't there a cause to take this thing on? My friend, listen to me. Great lesson from David and Goliath. There's a cause behind you seeing victory over things in your life. There's a cause. First of all, there's the cause of your own life. You need to get this thing down. You need to nail that Goliath. You need to see that fall in your life so you can go on in victory and know God will continue to use you and bless you in your life. You need to see that for yourself. Not only that, but people need to see that. Remember, he has three brothers at the battle. And all three brothers are with the rest of the cowards, hiding in the bushes every time Goliath throws down a challenge. The older brother Eliab even made fun of David for it. I know what you're here for. You're here just to see what's going on. Go on back and take care of those sheep back home. He was the youngest, David. And the youngest in the family is always picked on. Always made fun of. Always belittled. And all we are paragons of virtue. Can I get amen from the youngest in the family? That's right. We're just holding up the standard of godliness and living. That's all we're doing. And what do? They pick on us. When the parents leave to go to the store, they beat the fire out of us. They pick on us. They make fun of us. They tell us, oh, shut up, kid, and get away from it. And it's unbelievable how we ever turned out normal. I have no idea how I lived after my brother and sister. Anyway, I was the youngest in the family. You figure that one out. But wait a minute, because David saw the cause for this giant to fall. Then those brothers would later on come running out of the hills and they'd go after the Philistine army. Their courage would be strengthened. His nation would be encouraged to stay faithful. Do you understand that, dear people? Listen to me. Do you understand the reason why the cause of your giant needs to fall? You need it. Those around you need it. Your country needs it. Your city needs it. This place needs it. We got too many people today running from the giants who need to stand up for Jesus and realize that God can help you. And when your Goliath falls, maybe they'll take courage to stand up and do what they ought to do. And as we often remind you, don't wait for somebody else to do their part. You go ahead and do yours. But it is encouraging, isn't it? First fist fight I ever got in my life was with a kid who lived across the street from me named Pat Looney. Don't pick a fight with a guy named Looney, okay? Let me just say that right now. And I shot my mouth off, and he was a tough kid. Became a great running back for a junior college in our area there and that kind of stuff. He was a very tough kid. And he whooped me good, real good. Blacked both my eyes shut. I mean, blacked them shut. And that guy was on top of me, pounding me in the face like this. And my older brother came along and knocked him off and dragged me in the house. Spared my life. My brother had the philosophy, and nobody gonna beat on him but me. Never cared for the other part of that philosophy, but the no beat on me part, I like that part. Nobody can beat on him but me. And he risked it because his boy was beating on me. His other brothers were there. He risked all that to jump in and pull me out. You know, people, look at me. Do you understand something? There is a cause in this thing. We got too many Christians today who either run from their giant or they lose to their giant. And then people stand back and go, what's the deal with that kind of Christianity? 80-some percent, 84, 85% of people who are unsaved Christians say they know a person who is a Christian. Less than 12% of them said, but they believe that Christian's life made a difference by how they lived. That's wrong. Do you hear me? That's wrong. You mean to tell me all those unsaved people look at all these Christians, and 60-some percent of them say, you know, of those 60-some percent of Christians I know, their life's no different than anybody else. Oh, what a great testimony, huh? How powerful that is. You cower and run from your giant, and no wonder others won't step up and do what they're supposed to do. One more time, don't you wait for somebody else and don't use them as your excuse. But the bottom line is this. David saw a cause and not a giant. Because of that, that young man was willing to step up and do what he needed to. Get a vision of how important it is for you to see your Goliath fall. And if for nothing else, you need to see that. Lesson number three is this. David knew what God could do. Now, go down a little further in your passage there to verse 37. When Saul here, the king hears, David, someone's willing to take on this giant. They bring David in, and Saul says, oh, it's a kid. And he says, son, you can't fight him. There's no way. He's a trained killer. You're a boy. David says in verse 37, David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion, verse 37, out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. Now look at me. Lesson number next from David and Goliath is this. David knew what God could do with him. Now one more time. This is not some kid shooting his mouth off and bragging about what a great guy he is. It's not some 17-year-old going, I get that guy. That's not what he's saying. Listen now, here's David standing there saying, but you see, sir, when Saul says, but he's a trained killer and you're a child, you're just a boy, a young boy. He said, but sir, see, one day while tending my sheep, where he was supposed to be, doing what he's supposed to do, a lion and a bear came in and grabbed one of the lambs, he said, and I rose up and I smote them both and I delivered that lamb. He said, you know, the Lord who helped me do that will help me do him. Because David knew what God could do with his life. Can I ask you a question? Done any lion and bear killing lately? Giants fall after we kill so few lions and bears. In other words, a few other things that should go down go first. Then you get to the giant part. It's not like you're just supposed to step out and take on a giant. David already knew what the Lord could do with his life. Has that happened to you? Have you seen the Lord do some great things with your life already? Already helped you in some things, got you through some stuff, take you through a few valleys, seen you kill a few lion and bear type things in your life? So then when you face that Goliath, well, it's bigger and it's a different thing, but frankly, it doesn't really matter because he's not bigger than God. Is your Goliath bigger than God? That thing you face, is that bigger than God? Huh? You stand back and scratch your head and say, I just don't think I can do this. It's impossible. You're absolutely right. You can do nothing without Jesus, but you can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Jesus said in John 15, without me you can do nothing, but with him you can do what you need to do. Oh, yeah. You see, that's the blessing of seeing the hand of God work in your life and overcome some things. Then when you face something even bigger, it really doesn't make a whole lot of difference. Well, that's 9'6" giant covering 125 pounds of brass. That's bigger than a bear and a lion, but quite frankly, the bear and the lion lost because of God. So what's this giant? What's the issue here? David and Goliath teaches us, your God who has got you this far will safely get you home. Your God who's been answering your prayers has not stopped. Your God is still alive and sitting. Hey, he's still on the throne of this universe. He's still alive. God's very much alive. And God is still very much God. Nothing's changed with what he can do. His word is still powerful. His authority is still great. His power is still strong. The Spirit of God is still working. God is still in control, ladies and gentlemen. And he knows what he's doing. Don't you know that? Now, wait a minute. Maybe you don't because you've never settled this thing of being his child. Knowing him as your personal Savior. Having accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior makes you a child of God. And from that point forward, you're on. In the old buildings over there, one day, these two little junior high boys were running toward the door. And they're about to barrel some people over. So I just reached out and grabbed them by the arm just to hold on to them. And this one boy, junior high boy, he goes, hey, get your hand off me, man. I said, just slow down, son. You don't need to be running through. I ain't your son. Get your hands off me. And I let him go. I said, now just walk where you're going. The other boy I knew because he'd been coming on our buses. I said, you guys be careful now. And this boy turns around and goes, the junior high boy, but that big. Goes one of these numbers. What? I said, son, get out of here. I'll pick you up by the feet and snap you in half like a wishbone. Now go on, get going on out of here. And the other boy looks at him and goes, don't mess with him. He'll do it. I don't know where he got that idea. I've never wishboned a kid before. Well, a couple of mine. But anyway, never did that before. Just kind of had an idea. Don't want to mess with him. You know what I found out, ladies and gentlemen? You don't want to mess with God. No, and you don't want to mess with somebody who's on God's side. And you don't want to mess with somebody who knows what God can do in their life. Has God done great things for you? Has he? Okay, there's three of you. Now, for the rest of you this morning, I hope somewhere in your life, you see God do a little lion and bear killing. So when you come to your Goliath, you can say, well, he's bigger and he's covered with metal. But quite frankly, it doesn't matter to God because God is greater than anything that I face. He knew what God could do in his life. He knew what God could do through his life. He knew what God could do with his life. He knew what God could bring victory over what seemed that he's out there tending sheep and a lion and a bear. If I understand it right, they came in at the same time, grabbed the same animal. He doesn't have one at a time. He's got a lion and a bear to deal with, and he kills them both and spares the lamb's life with that pocket full of rocks and the shepherd's staff in the sling. Same armament, same equipment. But it wasn't what he had, it was who was behind it all, and God was most certainly behind it. Lost your confidence in God? Yeah, Pastor Johnson, I'll tell you something. The way things have been going, I just don't know. I don't either. I don't know how things are all going to turn out. I really don't. I know how it all ends. I know that. God wins and everything's fine. But up to that point, I don't know. Is it ever going to stop raining? By the way, if you're still praying for rain, knock it off. Okay, we're good. Just call the governor and tell him to declare the drought is over, would you please? Because I don't think he's figured it out yet. Of course, Jerry Brown, you know, what do you expect? But I don't think he's figured anything out, quite frankly. But you can stop praying now. I mean, the animals are pairing up. I mean, it's getting bad out there. We got plenty of water. I mean, it's we're doing good on that part, all right? And come July, when it's 112 outside, you remember these cold, rainy days. Okay? You folks are saying, it's sure cold out there. Okay, when it's 112, you're going to be saying, sure wish it wasn't so hot. You get happy, people. Wherever you're at, just get happy with the fact that's what it is. Okay? As our Spanish-speaking friends say, es lo que es. It is what it is. Good. God can do great things. One last lesson from this, and that's this. Go to verse 51. David and Goliath, here's a good lesson. Finish the job. Finish it. Look at verse 51. He's knocked him down. Goliath is lying there. He's not dead. Verse 51, therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword, that's Goliath's sword, drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. When the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. By the way, they lied. They didn't back up their promise. Heathens usually don't. Half Christians I know don't either. We won't go into that right now. Truth of the matter is, look here. When David knocked the giant down, he wasn't dead. You know why? Because the job wasn't over yet. He stunned him. He hit him right between the eyes with that rock, and down went Goliath, but he's not dead. You know what that means, don't you? Goliath will get up and come back. David knows what he has to do. He's got to finish him off. And when he runs and jumps on top of Goliath, I wonder if he was thinking, remember he drops Saul's sword? I wonder if he was thinking, I should have kept that. Oh, there's one. Pulls out Goliath's sword. Wow. And the Bible says he slew him. He didn't do like this. Oh, you're dead. It wasn't one of those deals, okay? I mean, he slew him. Whack. Goliath's neck was probably that big around. So he had to whack him a couple more times. Maybe he took a chunk off his nose. You say, you're grossing me out, Pastor Johnson. I'm just trying to give you a slew picture, okay? It's a slew picture. He whacked on that giant until he got his head off of him, picked it up, and then that. But see, David understood the importance of don't just get in the battle and get some victory. Get in the battle and finish the thing. Be done with it. Get all the way through it. Don't get halfway through and then pull up. Don't get all the way. Oh, he's down. Okay, good. Oh, wait a minute. He's not dead. And he ran and jumped on top of the giant, pulled out his sword and took his head off. He finished the job. Well, I'm doing pretty good, Pastor Johnson. Good. Stay doing good and finish the job. I got some things out of my life that shouldn't be there. Good. Stay and finish the job. Get it all out. Clean that thing out really good. So start it all over again. Like that man accused me years ago. He goes, I'm not going to your church anymore. You're trying to brainwash me over there. I said, yes, sir. We're trying to scrub that brain real good and stick it back in your head. About that big around. And stick it back in your head and help you get thinking right. Yeah, that's right. Well, the world tries to brainwash you. All week long they're brainwashing you. You come here, we're going to take that book and brainwash you. We're going to scrub it real good. Clean that mind up and get it back to thinking right. Then go and do what you're supposed to do. But wait a minute, don't get halfway in this thing. Don't get all the way. That giant's down, you finish it off. You stay faithful to God. You stay faithful to the Lord. You keep staying where you're supposed to stay. You make sure that the job is done. It, say, when's it done? When the trump of God sounds or we drop dead, one or the other. But I'll tell you something, friend, that Goliath will raise up again if you don't finish him off. I got some people in my life I shouldn't have in my life. Okay, now look at me. Okay, good. Then kindly distance yourself. But then don't turn around and pick up the same bunch of losers. People who have bad relationship choices, you know what they do? They get rid of bad ones and they pick other bad ones. Duh. There's a duh. You're always kind to people. Am I clear about that now? We're always kind to people. You don't go to them and say, I'm sorry, but you're unrighteous and I can't spend any time with you. Obviously, we're not going to treat people like that. But you know what? Hey, listen to me carefully. You need to distance yourself from the wrong crowd. And when you do, look at me. Don't then turn around and pick another wrong crowd. It's like some of these programs that get people off drugs and alcohol. They get them off drugs and alcohol, and then they get them hooked on something else. Well, you don't need addictions. You already got addictions. You need to get some victory and some clean up your life so you don't have to trade one addiction for another one. The Bible calls it trading yokes of wood for yokes of iron. Well, don't do that. We get some things knocked out of your life. Don't replace it with something bad. Put something good in its place. Always remember the theory of replacement. You get bad music out, get good music in its place. You get the wrong kind of friends out, get the right kind of friends in its place. You're making bad choices, make good choices. But don't start, keep making, knock it down, finish it. It's not over until the giant is dead. Finish the job. You say, I'm just trying to do right and stay faithful to the Lord. Look at me. Excellent. Stay with it. Finish the job. It's too much on, off, start, stop. You just finish the job. You see, I'm supposed to run with patience the race that's set before me. You dear people are such an encouragement to your pastor. Our new folks that have been coming, you're such a blessing. You know that? You're an encouragement to me. And you know what also is a great blessing to me? You folks have been around here for a long time. I promise you this. Look at your pastor this morning. I promise you I do not take you for granted. Will there always be there? No, no, no. The fact that you're here Sunday in, Sunday out, Wednesday in, Wednesday out, you serve and participate, and this is more than just a place you come to get, you come to give, that's such an encouragement to me. This August we'll have been together 34 years. I hope I'm completely accurate because I try to be every now and then. I believe I've pastored the same church the longest of anybody in this area. Others have retired and moved on, and that's fine, which is good. You say, when are you going to retire? Shut up. Don't ask me what my bucket list is because I don't have a bucket list. They have no desire or intention of retiring, which is bad news for some of you. I understand that. But I am 63 years old. I just know this. When my insurance man asked me what was my plan for retirement, I said, it's a box. It's a coffin. I want him to preach in somewhere and just drop over dead. I'll probably get shot. But drop over dead. I just want to drop in the harness. That's all I want to do. I want to finish in the will of God. I just want to finish what he put me on this earth to do. That's all I want to do. Look at me. By persistence, the snail reached the ark. All you got to do is stay in this thing and you'll finish. You understand that, right? You'll get that. You understand? You want to finish this thing. You don't want to be at it partly and then just say, well, I'm going to, nope, let's finish it. Let's finish the job God has given us to do. The victory is not complete until that young man stood there and picked up that giant's head and turned around and showed it to his people. And the Philistines saw it and the Israelites saw it and the nation rallied. People got the courage back. Let's finish this thing. But let's finish it faithful to the Lord. Doing what he'd have us do. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning as you're able.